Today is Tuesday, May the 4th, 2021. Welcome to More of the Word with Pastor Chuck Pusho, a podcast designed to help you start your daily devotion with a biblically focused intention. Here's Pastor Chuck.
Hello. Today we continue to think about the tension that exists between the goodness of God, the greatness of God, and the presence of evil in the world. For one thing, we may need to reevaluate what is meant by good and evil. Some of what we designate as good and evil may not actually be that. First, we must consider the divine dimension. Good is not to be defined in terms of what brings personal pleasure to humans in a direct fashion. Good is to be defined in relationship to the will and being of God. Good is that which glorifies Him, fulfills His will, conforms to His nature. The purpose of our lives as Christians is holiness, not happiness and painlessness. This, then, is the good. Not personal wealth or health, but being conformed to the image of God's Son. It is not the short-range comfort, but the long-range welfare of humanity as determined by the superior knowledge and wisdom of God that is good. Second, we must consider the dimension of time or duration. Some of the evils which we experience are actually very disturbing on a short-term basis, but in the long-term work, prove to be a much larger good. The pain of the dentist's drill and the suffering of post-surgical recovery may seem like quite severe evils, but they are in actuality rather small in light of the long-range effects that flow from them. Scripture encourages us to evaluate our temporary suffering in light of eternity. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." Third, there is the question of the extent of evil. We tend to be very individualistic in our assessment of good and evil. But this is a large and complex world, and God has many persons to care for. The Saturday rainfall that spoils a family picnic or round of golf may seem like an evil to me, but be a much greater good to the farmers whose parched fields surrounded the golf course or park, and ultimately to a much larger number of people who depend upon the farmers' crops, the price of which will be affected by the abundance or scarcity of supply. This means that what appears to be evil may actually, in some cases, be the means to a greater good. Though we may not understand them, God's plans and actions are always good and lead invariably to good consequences. This does not mean that evil or our idea of evil is eliminated by looking at the outcome, but it does mean that some of what we see as evil is God's working to bring about a greater good. Another dimension of this tension is to recognize the role of people in the presence of evil in the world. The entire human race has sinned and is now sinful. In its head, Adam, the entire human race violated God's will and fell from the state of innocence into which God had created humanity. Consequently, all of us begin life with a natural tendency to sin. The Bible tells us that with the fall, the original sin, a radical change took place in the universe. Death came upon humankind, and God pronounced a curse upon them, which brought about a much more difficult earthly experience for us. Additionally, all of creation suffered the effects of the sin of humankind. All of creation did. Paul in Romans 8 says that the whole creation has been affected by the sin of humanity and is now in bondage to decay. It waits longingly for its redemption from this bondage. Thus, it appears likely that a whole host of natural evils, not just moral evils, also resulted from the sin of mankind. In other words, natural disasters, illnesses, diseases didn't exist before sin entered creation. More serious and more obvious, however, is the effect of the fall in the promotion of moral evil, that is, evil which is related to human willing and acting. Much of evil and human suffering is a direct result of evil choices made by people, and that can't be denied. We see it all around us. There is an important question that must be asked here, namely, how could sin have happened in the first place? Part of the answer is that humans must have an option if they are to be genuinely free. The choice is to obey or disobey God. In the case of Adam and Eve, the tree of knowledge of good and evil symbolized that choice. When they disobeyed God, their relationship to Him was distorted and sin became a reality. Humans have been affected greatly by sin. Their attitudes, their values, their relationships have changed. In the case of Adam and Eve, this change was reflected in their new awareness of their nakedness, in their fear of God, and in their unwillingness to accept responsibility for what they had done. It is clear then that God didn't create sin. He merely provided the options necessary for human freedom, options which could result in sin. It is we who sinned, not God. So in short, those placing blame on God for the presence of evil in the world are the ones responsible for its being here. Instead of blaming God for its presence, should we not rather be asking His forgiveness for our role in its being in our lives? I think that would be a better place to begin rather than condemning God for the presence of evil in our midst.
Thank you for listening to More of the Word with Pastor Chuck Puccio. Our hope is that this program will help you kickstart your own time alone with God each day. We invite you to use it to set your mind on the things of Him. If you have any questions about this episode or other biblical matters, please feel free to email Pastor Chuck directly at chuck@broadmoor.tv.